everything you got. Play fast, play hard. Let's beat these boys tonight in their house.
It's party time. It's party time.
Dad, here we go.
Touchdown! You are listening to the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. Now here's your host, Brand Duffy.
That's right, another week, and it actually now feels a little bit like the off season as the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast continues. I'm Fran Duffy, and I think we've got a great show for you here on episode number 56. At the top of this week's show, we've got Chalk Talk, where I chat with Patrick Wu, one of the lead scouts for the Senior Bowl. Patrick was very involved in the recruitment of both Carson Wentz and Eagles 7th round pick Jalen Mills, and he's got some really interesting insight on both of those players, as well as some of the other members of the Eagles draft class. So I'm really excited for you guys to hear from him. Next up, we've got Two Technique, where this week we talk with former Senior Bowler and Eric Rowe. Eric and I discuss how to play in a trail technique as a cornerback in man coverage, and I always like catching up with the Eagles' second-year corner. To wrap it all up, we've got Saturday Scouting, where we look at Eagles defensive back Jalen Watkins, who was a personal favorite of mine back in the 2014 NFL draft. Watkins is looking to be a part of a really fun secondary battle this summer, so I thought I'd take a look back at him coming out of Florida a few years ago. We've got a ton to get into, so let's not waste any time. Told you earlier, I caught up with Patrick Wu to talk about Carson Wentz and the rest of the Eagles 2016 draft class. Let's get things rolling with Chalk Talk.
Let's get down to business. It's time for Chalk Talk.
Very happy to be joined by Patrick Wu, who is one of my favorite follows on Twitter, at P_Wu. He does a fantastic job as a scout for the Senior Bowl. And really, scout doesn't even sum up everything for Patrick. I mean, you work with alumni, you work with football camps, you do a little media relations, some football ops. Quickly, just to get us started, sum up for our listeners, what does your job entail and what do you do working with Phil Savage at the Senior Bowl?
Well, I certainly appreciate that, Fran, and I think my Twitter bio may say it all. It's scouting and then everything else. We're a small, tight-knit staff with just six of us here in Mobile, Alabama. So my main priority, obviously, is to coordinate all of our scouting efforts to put together the best possible rosters to showcase to the NFL every January. But it really does come with everything else, from janitorial services to all the other operations that go into the Reese's Senior Bowl.
That's fantastic. All right, so let's start really at the top here. Obviously, the Eagles selected Carson Wentz, number 2 overall a couple weeks ago. You guys had him down at the Senior Bowl in January. Tell us about really the process of getting Carson to Mobile. What is the process? Start, I guess, from step A. When is the first contact that you had with Carson, and what was that like? And just take us through the whole process there.
Well, there are some players that we get to meet with very early in the process because we'll hit all of the conference media days in the summer. But Carson Wentz, obviously being a small school prospect, we didn't have any representation or contact with him over the summer. So I believe that our first contact with him was actually when we sent him his invitation. But he was on our radar fairly early. I would say he really stood out in the national championship game his junior year. You know, North Dakota State is a program that's had a lot of success, so naturally they're going to attract some NFL eyes. And then you see this 6'5", 240-pound quarterback leading them to another national championship. There's no drop-off whatsoever in the program success rate. So it leads to some intrigue, and I think he really showcased his skills well in that championship game. And, of course, that put a lot of eyes on Fargo going into his senior season. And, you know, the last time that the Philadelphia Eagles selected in the top 5, they took a player from the Reese's Senior Bowl and Lane Johnson at number 4 overall. So we're very happy for how things turned out for Carson Wentz going number 2 overall to Philadelphia. And personally, I think it's a really good fit with his personality as well.
Well, tell us a little bit about his personality. Obviously, look, Philadelphia's gotten a chance to meet him and hear from him. What was he like dealing with you guys before? Really, I mean, the buzz didn't really pick up until we got down there. So during the lead up, what was Carson like dealing with? And then once you got him down there to Mobile, what was it like dealing with Carson?
Well, obviously, we got a little bit nervous when he had his wrist injury, not knowing whether or not he would be healthy enough to play. But he contacted us and he assured us that he would be ready to go. He'd be healthy enough to participate. So we were certainly excited for that. He's a guy who takes initiative. You know, he reached out to us. He wanted to make sure that everything was going to be okay on our end if he was able to play. He's a guy who's just got such high character. He's an A-plus individual on and off the field, a fan of him in both aspects. he's an absolute football junkie. And I think the Philadelphia staff will find that out fairly quickly if they haven't already found that out throughout the NFL draft process. But this is a guy who's a grinder. He's going to come to work every day. He's going to study in the film room like crazy. You know, it's notable that he was on the North squad coached by the Dallas Cowboys, who did not even give a playbook. So this is a guy not only making the jump from the FCS level to an all-star game with the best senior prospects in the country, but he's also not dealing with a playbook. So he's got to be able to take in everything himself with just off his notes and what he observes and what he's told. And he was able to do that. And he, the most impressive thing, I think, about Carson when he came here to Mobile was just his natural leadership and his natural aura that he had about him. You know, he's leading a team full of Ohio State prospects and guys from Stanford and other big programs that have had a lot of success. And Carson Wentz showed natural leadership. None of it was forced. Just the way he carries his business was A-plus, all class, all around. And the best part, too, is we got to meet his family and spend some time with them as well. I'm sure the Eagles staff had done some homework on his family as well. And he just comes from such a great, great background. And I think he's going to really grind and go to work in Philadelphia.
You mentioned the injury. How much did that stand out to you guys? Because, you know, you so often, I think, you know, you guys, in terms of your staff, have done such a great job over the last couple of years of really making sure that all the top players do play at the Senior Bowl. Because I can remember back to the first time I was going, you know, yeah, the top names would be announced, but then we'd get down there and this guy would pull out because, you know, he's got a sore hammy, and this guy wouldn't show up because, you know, he hurt his fingernail in workouts, and all these guys are looking for reasons to pull out. You guys have done such a great job of securing those commitments and making sure the top names do in fact come through and play. Carson breaks his wrist in the middle of his senior season and he still shows up. What, do you think that, you know, helped resonate with NFL scouts and with decision makers, and how did that reflect for you guys as well?
Oh, absolutely. I think it resonated huge for NFL decision makers because, number one, it was very important for them, at least in our opinion, to see Carson Wentz in an atmosphere like this when he's around all of the big school players. You know, at the NFL Combine, you have such limited access. You have a lot more access to the player here in Mobile. So I think it was important from that aspect for him to, at the very least, show up. But then his ability to participate was even more important. He started the game. He was able to show his scrambling ability, his ability to make plays in the game against the top-level competition. That was all very, very important. You know, I think what Phil Savage has been able to turn this game into the top NFL scouting showcase, where this is a can't-miss event for the top prospects. Whereas before, traditionally, it may have been just viewed as another all-star game and maybe another game, another week of practice. But I think that Phil has been able to turn this into a can't-miss event, and it's so important for these players. And they can't come up with an excuse not to come down here anymore because it's become such an important event that every excuse is going to be scrutinized to minuscule levels. And it's so important now, for these teams are doing so much homework that they want to know everything about this player on and off the field. And you give them one excuse to doubt your passion for football or your competitiveness, I think that's not going to go well with a lot of NFL teams. So that's a big reason why players need to show up here.
I believe Carson was the practice player of the week at the quarterback position as well during the week of practice. Well, Carson was the Eagles' first-round pick. Fast forward now to the seventh round. The Eagles select another Senior Bowl player, Jalen Mills, the defensive back from LSU. And I say defensive back because throughout his career, he played corner, he played nickel, he played safety. And then he goes down to the Senior Bowl. You guys play him outside at corner. What was his recruitment like? Tell us about the whole process with Jalen from day one.
Yeah, I'm still not sure where he fits at the next level in terms of a safety or a cornerback. I think he's probably more of a nickel corner. I think that's where he'll find his niche. You know, Jalen was another interesting case because he had that injury back in August where he broke his fibula, and that immediately placed some doubt on whether or not he would be able to earn an invitation, because when you only play half the season, it's going to be tough for you to be really considered a college all-star. But in terms of an NFL prospect at the defensive back position, Jalen Mills is at the top of the crop for this senior class. And I was there, actually, in Baton Rouge for his first game back October 17th when they hosted the Florida Gators. That was his first game back. I remember I was standing on the sideline in pregame warm-ups. Jalen Mills comes out. He's returning kicks with the special teams before the full team warm-up start. And I guess, I'm guessing that he saw my Reese's Senior Bowl logo on my jacket. And he gives me a little head nod. We make eye contact. He gives me a little head nod. He points at me right on my logo at the jacket. and starts nodding at me. And right then and there, I knew that this guy was going to take advantage of the second half of the season he was going to play to earn an invitation to the Reese the Senior Bowl. And he played exclusively nickel that game from what I remember. But this is a guy who played corner, played nickel, played safety, started at safety as the season closed. But he asked us to come and play outside corner exclusively here in Mobile. So that's why he did that. You know, we want to put these players in their best position to succeed and showcase their skills. And, you know, every now and then we will accommodate these special requests. And Jalen Mills requested to play outside corner when we originally invited him as a safety. So he really wanted to show that off. He was a lot of fun to be around, Fran. You know, I don't know if you've got to spend some time with him yet, but he's got a lot of personality. He's a big, big competitor. And he's a little bit of a charismatic guy. He really draws you in. And I think that was important for him, because getting him in the seventh round is an absolute steal for the Eagles, in my opinion. But I think the reason why, surprisingly, that he was there was because questions about his injury history and then maybe some questions about his maturity. He had that off-the-field issue back in 2014 with a domestic battery. So I think his charisma was important in showing teams that he's over that moment and he's matured. But, you know, that's all yet to be seen in reality.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I actually talked with him. He was one of our unofficial visits in terms of on our Journey to the Draft podcast, and I was really impressed with him. You mentioned charismatic. Like, I felt that way about him, and I thought that he was a guy that, you know, people say, oh, this guy gets it. I thought he gets it, you know, and that was one of the things I came away thinking after talking with Jalen Mills, and I agree. I think that he was an absolute steal being able to get him in round 7. Patrick, obviously, look, you travel all over the country all fall. You're looking at all the top senior prospects, and not even just in the fall, but also in the offseason. Some of these other players for the Eagles that ended up here on draft weekend, Wendell Smallwood, you know, Halaputivati Vaitai, and Blake Countess, and Joe Walker. Any of those guys on your radar during the Senior Bowl process, maybe on your watch list going into the season? Any stories from any of those guys?
Yeah, absolutely. All of those guys were on our watch list, except Smallwood, because I believe he was a junior. But and then another guy, Isaac Seumalo from Oregon State, he's played center, he's played guard. He was actually one of my favorite prospects, and we did check on his eligibility as a fourth-year junior, and he was not eligible to be here. But he was one of my favorite prospects. I think he's a potential starter day one for the Eagles, in my opinion. I think that's a big pickup, Isaac Seumalo. Blake Countess, okay, I think one of the biggest compliments that you can give a player as a scout is that you're fun to watch. And Blake Countess is one of those guys that was really fun to watch. Will Muschamp is obviously a big supporter of what we do here in Mobile. And Muschamp will tell you that Blake Countess was the best player he had on Auburn's defense. Now, we obviously ended up going in another direction, bringing Jonathan Jones to corner rather than Blake Countess. We thought Jones had a little bit more pro potential. But Blake Countess is an exciting player. 6 interceptions as a sophomore at Michigan is really when he jumped on my radar. Vaitai is an interesting case. I went out to TCU to see Vaitai and Josh Doctson and Colby Listenby and that whole TCU contingent. And Vaitai really stands out in terms of the eye test. But he got hurt that game when I was there. It was the West Virginia game. And he kind of fell off the radar a little bit after that. But this is a guy who's very talented. He's got great feet. I think the common denominator, Fran, in all of these Eagles draft picks is that they can all run. They're all athletes. They're all going to be able to move in space. So I thought that was the common denominator. Vaitai is one of those players that can move in space. I think he'll be a good part of the running game in the future. But we just didn't necessarily have room for him. All of our offensive linemen got drafted except Michigan State center Jack Allen. So that really was just a numbers game for us. But Vaitai is an intriguing prospect.
Patrick, there's a few recent Senior Bowl attendees on the Eagles roster. Guys like Jordan Hicks and Eric Rowe, Ja'Cory Shepherd, Jalen Watkins. You go back to Kenyon Barner and Jordan Matthews. Any interesting stories, any good memories about any of those guys in particular during your time down there at the Senior Bowl?
Well, yeah, Jordan Matthews was he was a part of my first Senior Bowl roster. And I'll tell you what, with Jordan Matthews, this is a guy who's got extreme work ethic. And I met him for the first time. I was living in Nashville, Tennessee over the summer, and I would go out and hang out at Vanderbilt and go to some of their practices. Coach James Franklin was very, very nice to me. And I met Jordan Matthews for the first time out there. And right away, you're impressed. I mean, he's such a professional, well-mannered, buttoned up, for lack of a better term, type of guy. So down here in Mobile, I'm getting downstairs to the lobby, Fran, where, you know, it gets a little chaotic during the day, but at 6 a.m., it's quiet. I'm down there 5:50 a.m., 6 a.m., thinking I'm early. And then here comes Jordan Matthews walking by saying he's already been down here watching film. What have I been doing? So this is a guy who's going to put in the work. He obviously runs to the end zone after every catch to score the touchdown. Just shows how competitive he is, how much he's going to work. So I really, really like Jordan Matthews. He was the face of the program at Vanderbilt as a wide receiver, so that really tells you a lot about him. And another guy that I really like to highlight out of that crew, Fran, is Jordan Hicks at Texas. I think, you know, injuries kind of derailed his college career, but I think the most telling part about Jordan Hicks was that when he got hurt and he wasn't on the field, the rest of the Texas Longhorns defense completely fell apart. And I think that was maybe the most telling factor in how important of a player Jordan Hicks was.
Yeah, no question about it. You mentioned the competitiveness with Jordan Matthews, or the work ethic. We've seen that here in Philadelphia. And I'm very, very excited about Jordan Hicks and his future. Last question for you, Patrick. I know it's a very interesting process that I don't think a lot of fans are familiar with in terms of the selection process for the Senior Bowl. How far along are you guys on the watch list for 2017? Who's excited you so far from what you've seen for next year's class?
Yeah, I'll try to keep this one short because there's a lot of guys. I think last year we started with 648 players on the watch list. Of course, the one that's released to the public on SeniorBowl.com is about 350 to 400 players, but we still mostly work off of the 600 or so internal list. Right now I'm at 722 players for 2017, Fran, and I think that list is going to continue to grow before it starts to shrink. We want to make sure we cover all of our bases, all of the small schools as well. But guys that really stand out immediately, it's the four at Alabama that all came back for their senior season. Jonathan Allen, Reuben Foster, Eddie Jackson, and O.J. Howard. And then on top of O.J. Howard, I think it's going to be a strong senior tight end class next year. Jeremy Sprinkle at Arkansas really stands out. Jordan Leggett at Clemson is somebody that Alabama fans would be familiar with. And Jake Butt at Michigan is a name to not remember, not only for the ridiculousness of his last name, but also because he is a big-time NFL tight end prospect. The cornerback class looks to be strong at the top, at least in terms of seniors, because you had the Clemson guy, Cordray Tankersley, return to school, Jordan Lewis at Michigan, Tre'Davious White at LSU, Desmond King at Iowa, and Cameron Sutton at Tennessee. Those all guys that came back to school for their senior season. But some other names that I really want to throw at you, Fran, for this. Jared Davis, the outside linebacker at Florida, okay, he's not going to wow you with all of the measurables, but he's going to wow you with the way he plays. He stands out on every single game tape and on special teams. I think Jared Davis is going to have a lot of Deion Jones from LSU type of hype next year. Could sneak into the bottom half of first round. And then small school-wise, keep an eye on this name, Fran. Cooper Kupp, wide receiver out of Eastern Washington. This is a guy who's friends with the Manning family. He's been at the Manning Passing Academy catching passes. Phil and I saw him firsthand at the Manning Passing Academy last year. And this is a guy who carries a lot of hype at Eastern Washington. He set a lot of records there as a wide receiver. Very, very shifty, great hands. I think Cooper Kupp's going to emerge as maybe one of the top senior wide receiver prospects next year. And of course, at quarterback, I think it's Chad Kelly at Ole Miss and everybody else in terms of seniors at this point in the game. But keep an eye on C.J. Beathard at Iowa. His grandfather was a longtime NFL executive. And I think he's got the skills, and he'll continue to develop those this senior season at Iowa. He may be one of the more talked-about senior quarterback prospects this time next year.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up Beathard. He's a guy that stood out to me as well throughout the last couple weeks as I've started to prepare for the 2017 draft. The Eagles have had such a great relationship and a great history of drafting Senior Bowl players. Patrick, I expect that to continue. Thanks so much once again for joining us here on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. We will have to talk to you again soon. I know this fall we'll definitely have you on again.
Yeah, look forward to seeing you out on the road, Fran. We're really excited for this fall, and we're really excited to put together another great roster. And I hope you're right about more of these guys ending up on the Eagles roster. I think Philly's a great place to go.
Well, thanks so much, Patrick. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Fran.
Great stuff from Patrick. And again, you could follow him on Twitter just like I do, @P_Woo. And while you're at it, I'm @FDuffy3. That's where I post all of the podcasts I'm on and all of the X's and O's content that we produce here at PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And you know, I really appreciate everybody out there that promotes this podcast on social media. We've got a lot more to get into, but real quick, before we get into two technique, big news at the end of last week, the Eagles announced all of their undrafted free agent signings. And everybody's asking on Twitter, oh, who stands out? Who should we keep an eye on? Obviously, look, there's a few of these names that we should keep a close eye on. Even, you know, me, at this point last year, I did not know the kind of player that Denzel Rice was. And obviously he came out to training camp and really, really proved himself, earned a spot on the Eagles 53-man roster. So we'll look at some of these names. Three names that stand out to me. The first is Azeez Shittu from Stanford. We saw him at the East-West Shrine game. He's 6'2". He listed 284, played a little bit lighter than that when he was with the Cardinal, played DN, played D-tackle, really, really high motor, and he was one of the most fun players to watch. Patrick just mentioned Blake Countess and how he's a really fun player to watch. I felt the same exact way. I like that about Countess, but I felt the same way about Shittu as well. Good athlete for the defensive tackle spot. He's going to project inside as a three technique, and I was really, really high on Shittu throughout the process. So I thought that was great value as an undrafted free agent. Byron Marshall, the athlete from Oregon, 5'9", 201 pounds, played some running back, played some receiver. I saw him as kind of a Swiss Army knife that could play a number of different roles, kind of like a DeAnthony Thomas or what he was for the Kansas City Chiefs and obviously for the Oregon Ducks during his time in college. I didn't think he had the outstanding ball skills of a full-time receiver or the outstanding vision of a full-time back. So I think as a Swiss Army knife type player, I think that he could really kind of find a role, almost like a poor man's Wendell Smallwood, who obviously the Eagles drafted in the fifth round a couple weeks ago. And then lastly, Darryl Green, and the offensive lineman from San Diego State, 6'3", 321 pounds. And here's why I say he stands out to me. I watched him, and I think he's a nice player. I expected him to be kind of a late-round pick or an undrafted player. But all the media reports, I swear, on Twitter, leading up to the draft, it was, oh, the Eagles are showing interest in Darryl Green. The Eagles are bringing him in for a visit. The Eagles are working him out. All those media reports and all that buzz, all point, if you had asked me on the beginning of day three who's one player they're going to draft, it would have been Darryl Green. They didn't have to draft him. They were able to bring him in as an undrafted free agent. So obviously a guy that they showed a lot of interest in, reportedly, throughout the pre-draft process, they were able to bring him in. He'll be part of a very interesting offensive line battle this summer. So very, very excited about all of those undrafted free agents. But let's keep this show going. We talked with Patrick earlier about the Senior Bowl process, so it's only right that I'm joined this week by a former Senior Bowl standout himself, cornerback Eric Rowe, to talk about playing trail technique in man coverage. Let's get to that conversation in two technique.
Time to get inside the mind of a player. It's time for two technique.
Here now with Eagles cornerback Eric Rowe. And Eric, one of the fascinating things about man coverage is just, you know, watching all the different ways a corner can react to a receiver, obviously playing them all across the field. And there's different forms of man coverage. There's two man, there's cover one, cover zero. But when you're going up against a receiver on the outside and he starts running an in-breaking route, a crossing route across the middle of the field, and you're on his backside hip, how do you react to that as a corner?
If I at least have one safety in the post, then usually the technique that I do is I try to slide up under him, which means I try to cut him off. So if I'm trailing on his backside, you know, I'll try to, you know, it's kind of hard to say in words, but I'll kind of undercut him. Yeah, I kind of undercut him. So because I know that I have safety over the top just in case the quarterback tries to loft it. So I'll make him have to loft it over my head to the safety, you know, to the help I have.
Sure. So it's all about playing to your help. So, you know, if you've got a safety over top, you know, you can take a little bit of a chance and try and stab underneath. How hard is it? We can remember back, Eagles fans remember Jordan Matthews' game-winning touchdown against Dallas where he's breaking across the middle of the field, sticks his foot in the ground, and breaks opposite. How aware do you have to be? Is that almost an opponent-specific thing where you see it happen on tape and you're aware of it? How hard is it to not kind of bite too hard on a crossing route expecting something to come back the other way?
That's like a game tape thing. If you know that, if the team doesn't really do that, then obviously you can just undercut him. But, yeah, if he sticks his foot in or if you know that he can go across or he'll touch the hash and go back out, then you got to just be extra cautious that, you know, I can't really undercut him just yet. You know, maybe after the hash mark he passed that, then I'll do it. But, you know, before then, you know, he's got to watch out for that.
Outstanding stuff there from Eric. He did a great job of breaking down how to play crossing routes from the backside in man coverage. So now I'm going to quickly break down how to subscribe to a podcast, and it's really, really simple. If you're listening to this on the Eagles app or on the Eagles mobile site and you like what you hear, it's really easy. You just go to your phone, you go to your podcast app, all of your smartphones have them, and you just search Eagle Eye in the Sky. You hit subscribe, and the show downloads automatically to your phone each and every week, and you can listen whenever you want. You can listen in your car. You can listen at work. You can listen when you're doing chores or when you're going to bed. Hopefully, I don't put you to sleep. but there's a ton of great podcast content out there. All you have to do is hit subscribe, and it comes down to your phone each and every week. But let's wrap this show up like we do each and every week. Let's talk some college football and Saturday scouting.
It's time for Saturday scouting.
All right, so we just talked with Eric Rowe for Two Technique. So really, I want to focus on this secondary battle, because I mentioned it actually last week on the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA, the final one of this offseason. And we talked about how excited I was to see this secondary battle play out. And it's interesting because you look at the guys at corner. You know, you have Eric Rowe, obviously. You have Nolan Carroll, who was brought back. The Eagles signed Leotis McKelvin and Ron Brooks. You have Jalen Watkins and Denzel Rice and Randall Evans. C.J. Smith, the kid from North Dakota State, they signed as an undrafted free agent. You know, and that's just a corner, because then it's safety. You've got Jenkins, you've got McLeod, you've got Maragos. Then you draft Jalen Mills, you draft Blake Countess, you have Ed Reynolds. It's going to be a really interesting secondary battle this summer. And a lot of those guys can play multiple spots. You know, Brooks and Watkins and Evans and Carroll, Mills, Countess. All those guys have shown that they can play inside, they can play outside, or they can play safety. So how they all fit in will be very, very interesting to see. I think that you could see the Eagles keep. We'll see. It could be up to six corners. It'll be very, very interesting to watch how the cornerback and how the safety competition all plays out. I'm sure special teams will have a lot to do with that as well. But thinking about all that, I said, you know what? Let's go back and look at a player that I really liked coming out of Florida in 2014, and that was Jalen Watkins. And, you know, what I wrote down about him, 5'11 and a half, 194 pounds. He lined up at every secondary spot in Will Muschamp's defense in 2014 as a senior. He lined up as the field safety for most of his senior year. So as the field safety, meaning he played to the wide side of the field. They wanted to keep him in space. He played to the wide side of the field every single down, regardless of where the ball was in terms of the hash marks. He saw a lot of time in the slot while still getting reps on the outside, depending on the opponent. Lined up at both cornerback spots as a junior in 2012. So he lined up on the left side and on the right side as a junior. So you've got experience on all three spots in the secondary. That was one thing I thought was very, very valuable at that point with him coming out of school. On tape, I thought he played a good mix of press and off coverage, and for a smaller corner, he did a good job winning early in the down in those press coverage situations. He displayed more than enough athleticism to succeed in man coverage at the NFL level. One thing that really impressed me was he didn't panic when he was initially beaten vertically, and it's interesting. I've actually had Jalen on this podcast in the past, and he talked about playing in phase and playing out of phase, how to play the ball down the field late in the down. And I thought that Jalen did a good job with that as a college player at Florida, and then also as an early, you know, as a rookie here in Philadelphia. So I think that was one area where he succeeded. When you lined up in the back end, he displayed good range off the hash, showed good awareness in zone coverage. He was a good blitzer. He was just a versatile player for the Gators defense. And then from a negative standpoint, look, he went in the fourth round. Obviously wasn't a perfect prospect. He could be a little bit more disciplined in man coverage. You know, when I saw him at Florida, there are some times where he too easily got his hips turned early in the down. He was a bit over-aggressive at times as well, would bite on some double moves and on play action. I thought that sliding permanently into the slot would require some transition time, a little bit of growing pains there, especially in press situations. And I just wanted to see him improve in terms of his tackling technique. But overall, I thought Jalen Watkins was an athletic, aggressive defensive back with great versatility. And I saw the potential to be an effective corner, nickel, or safety, though his best fit may be inside. And I thought that would be great for today's NFL. So obviously, look, I think that he's still got room to grow. I'm excited to see how he handles this competition this offseason. It'll be very, very interesting, like I said, to see how that secondary battle plays out. But I think that'll do it. Thanks again to Patrick Wu, to Eric Rowe, and all of you out there listening, whether you're on iTunes, on Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, Google Play, and of course, on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and the Eagles mobile app. Thank you. And if you get the time, again, go on, rate the show, leave us a comment, let us know what you think, shoot me a question. I want to keep making this show better each and every week. But that being said, I think that'll do it. Another show in the books here on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. From my producer, BT, I'm Fran Duffy. We will talk to you next week.